The Jack of All Nerds is recorded by a live studio audience.
Making your way in the world today.
It's electroshock therapy time.
Wakanda forever and never to part. Wakanda forever, it's true.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Whoa, Rita's a man?
Welcome back to more Cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time.
Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
He cooked up a backstory and then walked into Wakanda and challenged their king, but since he had vanished into ash, they just made you...
Well, yeah,
the new leader?
I was basically like, well, I'm not going to show you my lip. That's just
weird. Guys, we are live.
Oh.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to the Jack of All Nerds show, coming to you from Nerdbot Studios in Alhambra, California. I'm the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell.
And I am Sam Ridley, filling in for Derek Murray. I appreciate the offer to replace him permanently, but I can't do that to him.
I mean, I did throw that out there.
All right, but, you know, it's cool.
I mean, you're the king of Wakanda. Why wouldn't I? You know what I mean?
Forever.
Do you prefer, like... King Ridley or Lord?
Well, I'm trying
Ridley?
Just M'Baku Ridley.
Okay, I don't think I can pronounce that, but I'll try.
I can't either, so
I'll
it's
try.
Fine.
Can I hear you try it, Mike, in your horrible Wakandan accent?
not today, buddy. I don't know if you can hear. I barely got a voice as it is.
We do not do that here.
we do not do that here.
And also, guys, the chairman of the board, Danny Anthony, is back.
I am back and better than ever.
Yes, they fixed him. They rebuilt him.
They made me better.
They had the technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen replica. It's
fine. let's see the chat. Q says, "What's up, Q in the house? What's going on, Q?
What's up, Q?"
Timothy Chasen. It's nerd bots. We are people. Okay, we're not bots.
Yes,
we're not bots. We are real. If you kill us, we bleed.
Yes, I'm wearing Batman, Julius. I felt like since I was filling in for Derek, a piece of him needed to be here, but he can't fit any of my sizes, so, you know.
Let's see. Quint says, "What's up, Mikey? Sam, love the shirt and cap."
Thank you.
It's matching.
It is.
It's like you planned it.
I didn't. This is my son's hat, actually. Oh. Thank you for calling me out there.
Either he's got a humongous head or you have a tiny one.
Hey, I had to adjust it down.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, okay. It's adjustable.
They've got more hair than I do.
Look,
so.
You could have just been like, yes, I did. You didn't have to admit to the truth.
I'm frighteningly honest, and I have to stop that. So that's just what happened there. Like, simple.
All right. Well, coming up later on the show tonight, guys, we're going to talk about some terrible movie sequels. And with your help, we're going to figure out how we could fix those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah, we're going to need you.
We're going to need lots of help because these are some stinkers. but before we do that, we got to talk about the people who allow us to be here, everybody.
Absolutely.
That's right. I'm talking about sponsors. First up, everybody, the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Has nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, sports, and beer. For more information, I don't know why I always get weird when I say beer, but anyway, for more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Also, guys, be sure to check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. And hey, guess what? If you live in Rhode Island...
biggest little state in the union.
There's now a dinner detective there, which is why we didn't have a show last week, because I got stuck there from the snow.
You don't get stuck in Providence. It's a blessing.
I was hoping that I would wake up the next morning and the day would be reset so that I could like learn how to play the piano and do ice sculpting, but it didn't happen that way.
You would not use your powers for good if that happened to you, and we both know that.
Nope. It would be all bank heist, just like he started out.
Did you get that beer thing from there? That Mark Wahlberg beer that happened just now? Yeah. I'm going to have a beer with a Transformer.
So how do you mop for me, Kay?
Anyway, guys, for more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California or Jacksonville, Florida location, use the promo code CRIME to get a 10% discount. Also, guys, check out Four Color Fantasies comic book store, hello, words, located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. It's the IE's best comic book shop. They have all your comic and collectible needs, and they do a lot of cool events. Coming up in March, they'll be doing a private screening for Captain Marvel. You know, come hang out with all your fellow nerds. You get a goodie bag with your ticket, and they do raffles. You get a raffle ticket, and they give away some really, really good stuff. So you'll want to check that out at fourcolorfantasies.com or facebook.com/4CFRancho.
Rancho.
And that
oh, that's not one of them?
I like it, though. I do like it. I do like it.
All right. We'll keep that.
So, yeah, that's sponsors, everybody. Let me hit up the chat real quick. Did anybody else think of Peter Griffin when they said Roadhouse?
They're supposed to, though, right?
That's
where it's from.
Well, that's what Derek does when he's here. But Sam threw a little spin on it.
So I put a Derek in there. I put a Sam in there. Yeah. You know.
A little Cleveland action. I got it.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah.
Can I do it once?
And
Roadhouse.
Have you seen him on, what's the Orville?
Oh my God. Patrick Warburton's on the Orville now?
He had a guest spot. Oh, I don't know if he's going to be on there permanently.
No, he needs to be a season regular.
He was in major prosthetics, but it was still him, and it was hilarious. His part was hilarious.
I got to get back on that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Brianna says, glad you made it back safely. Thank you.
Aww.
Aww.
So nice. Twice now, because I went there. I was there this weekend as well, but no storm this time. Although I'm pretty sure I'm cursed because my flight out there and my flight back were both delayed, and then all the cancellations from last weekend. Derek says he will never fly with me anywhere, which is fine. I don't even want to fly with me anywhere. So
he has bad luck flying with both of us then. Remember, we got stuck in Chicago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys got stuck real bad.
Yeah, like stranded. Had to like drive 4 hours to a different airport overnight. So,
I do remember that. So maybe he was cursed and
he's the curse, I think.
And then I killed his daughter and then he threw a gypsy curse on me and touched my face and he was like grounded. And then I... Is that what happened? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't like to think he's that powerful.
Anyway.
Jesus. Isn't that a Thinner reference?
It was. I was reaching deep for that one. Anyway, guys, that was sponsors. Now it is time for our Netflix of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And so what this is, if you're not familiar with the show, is we all watch something on Netflix that we have not seen before, and then we give a quick little summation about it and a review, and yeah. So who's up first this week?
Up first is Fire, the documentary about Firefest.
Oh, man. Okay, so this one was mine, and I found it absolutely on accident. You know how when you first start, like, Netflix, Hulu, they just kind of give you something on the screen, and it popped up. But the first one I saw was Hulu, to be honest, because you see how, like, it's kind of subtle, the picture for this one.
Yeah.
The picture on Hulu is all flames in the background with a tent in front of it. I was like, I have no idea what this is, but I have to see it. You know what I'm saying? I got addicted to the shenanigan fuckery so fast watching this train wreck happen that I had to end up watching both of them. But the Netflix one has, like, the best story. Shout out to Alex King if you've seen it. Good for you. I'm not going to ruin it. That is like the single greatest you should be the employee of the quarter story I've ever heard.
And this is a documentary on actual
events. It's a documentary
events.
About the Fire Festival that happened a couple of years ago. And I guess I'm just not a cool kid because I completely missed the boat on this whole thing that was happening on Instagram about it.
See, I heard about it. And I heard that it was just like a complete and utter disaster. Like they didn't plan everything.
And you know what? That's an understatement.
After I saw it,
it was an absolute understatement to call it a disaster. I am not a documentary guy, and I want to tell everybody to please go watch this one and then watch the Hulu one right behind it because you're just sitting there dumbfounded the whole time that this whole thing is happening. I know, like, dudes in the hood that sold drugs. They got nothing on white-collar crime, okay? Like, this is amazing. What's the scale, 4 or 5?
Yeah, it's 5.
Out of 5, I got to give it 5.
Woo! Wow.
It is strong. Because, like, I've seen it, and I want to see it again.
I'm going to have to see it now.
I want to see it again. Like, definitely check out Fire, the greatest party that never happened. Absolutely.
It did pop up in my queue, but I didn't have time to watch it this weekend, so.
I couldn't stop. This was the first documentary I, like, sat up, like.
Actually looking for popcorn.
I couldn't believe it was happening, bro. It was, yeah.
All right.
It's that good.
There you go. What's next, Danny?
Next is my pick, and I don't want to get any shit for this because I know this movie exists. I've seen clips from I've seen this whole movie without actually seeing this movie.
Hold on. Just wait a sec, Danny. All right, chat. Seriously, guys, I don't want any shit. I don't want you giving Danny any shit for this.
Yeah, they're gonna give me shit for this. I can hear you mouthing it. I'm looking right at you
what
on
are
the
you
screen.
About?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
All right, please.
So my pick was Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
when he originally posted this in the group chat for
really?
The show, everybody was like, "What? You've never seen it?"
I've never seen the movie through and through. I've seen every major clip from this movie, every major scene, every funny bit. I have not seen the movie through and through. But having said that,
what'd you think?
It's great. No, I knew it was going to be good. I have seen the best parts of this movie.
Frank Calderon says I'm leaving
right after he said, "What's up?"
Yeah,
what's up and goodbye. I first saw the witch scene. I had a really badass chemistry teacher in high school, and so we were going over the scientific method. And so he showed us the witch scene where they try to deduce how she's a witch to demonstrate the scientific method. So that's the first time I saw that. And then just for shits and giggles, he threw on the Black Knight scene.
Again, for science.
For science, yes. To show how you can live with a dismembered appendage. But no, I think Monty Python is probably one of the best things to come out of Britain.
Oh, my God. So let me just run down.
Yeah, let me feel the hate.
So we've got Jay Booth says nerd card revoked. Jason Lane says Danny, I fought in your general direction. And then XL says Danny, you son of a motherless goat.
Your They're mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries.
Julia said I want to jump on the hate, but I finally watched it all the way through 2 weeks ago.
All right, see, so did I.
So you have a friend right now. Is
all
what
right,
just
cool. I'm not the only asshole.
But everybody else just listened to you explain a movie we all saw 10 years ago.
I know.
It's like, so get this. Akeem wants a wife, right? So he wants to go to America to find himself a princess. And like, really, dude?
You see, McDonald's has the golden arches.
So did it live up to your expectation based on all the clips you had seen previously?
Yes, and even the stuff I hadn't seen it had me in stitches. It was great. Like the one scene that I hadn't seen was the bunny rabbit scene, where they get to the cave.
Yeah,
and holy shit, was that hilarious!
So now you get to go back and watch every like cartoon with a pop culture reference in it.
Yeah,
and get it this
and get
time.
It now. Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
you got a busy week ahead of you. You know,
XL asks what's next for you, ET.
No, actually, E.T. was one of the first movies I ever saw.
Yeah, he's still got to watch Cocoon 2, but he'll catch up. He'll catch up.
Cocoon 2. Oh, wow.
Wow, indeed.
That's it.
Oh, man.
That's it. Derek is replaced. Boom. Done.
Stay at the gym, buddy. Let's keep this rolling.
All right. So what are you rating this thing?
Oh, dude, it gets a 5 out of 5 for sure.
5 out of 5. Perfect.
Well, I think you had to. If you had rated it any lower, like we probably would have lost.
It's a 2 out of 5. British comedy sucks. Yeah, 5 out of 5.
All right. What's next?
That would be, I think, your pick, sir.
It is. Wait, Julius Kelly says, what's Cocoon? Only one of the greatest Steve Guttenberg movies of all time.
I like how
you can just say it's the good Steve Guttenberg
Whoa,
movie.
Whoa, hey, you need to shut your whore mouth right now. Look, the good Steve.
I know. Have some respect. They're like all dead. Like, can I go now?
The good Steve Guttenberg. We've got. Oh no, we do have Cocoon. Short Circuit.
Police Academy.
Police Academy, yeah. 1 through 3.
Yeah, you can't call it the good one, you know.
Anyway,
Short Circuit 2 was amazing.
Except he wasn't in that one.
I know. Anyway.
So yes, mine was this new stand-up special from Sebastian Maniscalco. Stay Hungry, and I've seen a couple of his specials before, and I find him moderately funny. Mm-hmm. And this was about the same for me. That there's parts where I think he really nails it, and then there's other parts where it feels like his comedy is just
phoned in.
It's either like phoned in or like he's just trying to appeal directly to the crowd in the city that he's performing. Like,
yeah,
because I think the show is filmed in New York, and so it just feels very much like
crowd work.
The audience gets it and no one else does.
It feels like
thing.
Crowd work.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but I mean, there's nothing really I can. So a guy gets on stage and he tells jokes. That's the plot.
Wow.
It does have a twist ending, though. You're never going to see it coming. They definitely Shyamalan this one.
Dane Cook comes in and takes over the set.
You find out they're actually in a little village, yeah. Right?
No, well, the twist is that it's actually connected to the Unbreakable universe. At the
oh,
end.
Okay.
It's so weird. It's so weird. But, yeah, like I said, there was parts that made me chuckle. A lot of it, I was not laughing, but not in a, oh, this is stupid kind of way. It's just like, you could tell the jokes are funny. They just don't. they don't hit you in that way. Maybe yeah. If you're like there live and there's a crowd laughing with you, you might laugh. But when you're watching it at home, it's just not funny enough to do that. So I'm gonna give it probably like a 2.5 out of 5. Mm. It was just kind of average for me.
This right here, this segment is why I don't want a Netflix special. I don't want to be sitting at home and Mike goes, I'll give it like a 2, you know. And then I got to hurry up and drive to Alhambra. Like,
Sam, that hurts me when you say that. You're on our website. As a contributor to the show, I would give you at least a 3.
I know. But until you move my picture where Derek's is and put his where... Anyway, okay.
All right, guys. That is our Netflix...
Long-term goals.
Netflix of the week. It is time to move on to some current events. Now, some of these current events aren't so current because they were scheduled for our last week's show when I got trapped in Providence. So, yeah, we'll just take them as they go.
Yeah, we'll just take them.
What's the first one?
First one is Black Panther getting the nod.
Yes. Black Panther getting how many nominations? A lot.
Really? Was it a lot for the Oscars?
I believe it's 7.
Yeah,
seven.
I think 7 is correct.
I believe it's 7.
Including the Big Daddy one, Best Picture, right?
No. I do not believe it's in for Best Picture.
Was it?
Yeah, I know. Google that right
I'm
now.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, but it was.
I was just glad that so they got in all technical categories.
Nominated for Best Picture, Best Original Music Score, Best Costume Design,
okay.
Best Sound Mixing, Best Production Design, and Best Sound Editing. So, I mean, it pains me to say that most of those are the what I consider the shit awards that they give to. Because, like, didn't... what is it?
Suicide Squad won Best Hair and Makeup.
don't remind us. Please don't remind us of that. But didn't Infinity War got nominated for like visual effects as well?
Yes.
And it's one of those things where it's like if you're going to recognize that Black Panther was a good movie, but you won't recognize that anything else in the DC DC Jesus. Whoa, you fucked me up by saying Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he did.
In the MCU. Is good enough, you know what I mean?
Well, here's my thing. I'm glad that, one, Marvel movies are on the ballot now. You remember when it was like, it's a superhero movie, it can't win an Oscar. Like, that's gone. So, another step in the right direction. Bump the black-white thing with this Black Panther. Like, nerd culture has moved to the point that we're up there now.
Yeah.
Now, Black Panther doesn't deserve to win Best Picture. And I'm saying that as the black guy sitting here, so don't go key my car right now. but because for a simple fact, like we all agree, like the last act just visually didn't work. It should have been a lot simpler. The CG fell apart. So I'm glad that went to Infinity War. But I think they did right by it. It's in the conversation. It's fine. It doesn't have to win every award. For me, the best movie I saw last year is Bohemian Rhapsody. So I would love for that to win Best Picture. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it... To me, that the problem with the nomination and just now seeing what all the other nominations are and then the one Best Picture one, it just feels like all these old white guys in the Academy were like, hey, let's throw them a bone. And we'll just, like, with them having no intention of it winning. And it's shit. It's garbage.
It's going to win something. It's going to win something, you know, like, and just be happy. It was a good movie, and get this, people, like, regardless of whether it wins anything or not, it's not going to make you sit at home and enjoy the movie less. So, like, I hope this doesn't turn into a firestorm on Oscar Day, because now people are going to care.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
It might, but...
It probably will.
We will see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But, hey, like, it's exciting news for you know, a comic book movie.
It is.
To have 7 nominations, even if it is mostly technical awards or whatever.
Well, I mean,
costumes and stuff.
There should have been at least a Michael B. Jordan, you know, best actor like
best supporting
kill you too,
or something.
Uncle James, you know, just for that line alone. You know,
All right. What's next, Danny?
What do you got?
Up next is our shameless plug for Cinema Saga.
Oh, yes. So, guys, we've started a new show on the Jack of All Nerds. It's a new YouTube show. It's also in podcast form as well, but it is called Cinema Saga, and it is a show where me, Derek, and Matt Avila, we get together. We basically rewatch all the films in a trilogy or saga of sorts, and then we kind of discuss each one individually, and then we rate the whole saga at the end. Our first episode was just released. This one was all audio. There is a video version of it, but it's mostly just using clips from The Godfather, because we did The Godfather trilogy. And it was difficult because one of those movies definitely brings the other two down. And we have to rate the saga as a whole.
Right.
But if you guys watch it, I have a theory about the very end of The Godfather 3 that I think makes the whole movie okay. Yeah, I'm not going to give it away here, but you should check it out for sure.
Okay.
And you can do that on our YouTube, Jack of All Nerds Show, or just go to our website, jackofallnerdshow.com, and it has links to everything there, and you can find it on iTunes and all that good stuff. All right, what's next?
Next is John Wick 3.
Oh, my
Parabellum.
God. Oh, my God. Oh, my gushness.
I was like doing this when I saw the trailer. Like, mm-hmm. I felt all the feels. The feels came through.
This poster was fucking with me when I looked it up.
Yeah, why is it backwards?
Yeah, why is it backwards? And I was like, oh, wait. Oh, he's on the other side of a door. I get it
he's
now.
He's outside the Continental.
Yeah. It took me to...
It's a brilliant poster.
It's metaphorical!
It made me feel dumb that it took me so long to figure it out, though. Like, I was staring at it too long. I should have been way quicker on that. But, yeah, the trailer looks good. I actually do have a couple of concerns.
Uh-oh.
So, there's the... And look... As an establishing shot, I definitely had a noner. All right,
okay.
there was a huge nerd boner going on when the motorcycles ride up behind him and they all break out their samurai swords. But there was a couple of quick cuts, and again, I'm not going to judge it, before seeing it. But there was a couple of shots that were quick cuts of the motorcycle action sequences that looked a little computer heavy.
You scared they're going to go overboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was worried about that, too. I was a lot worried when Jinx showed up. I was like...
With dogs?
I know.
Yeah. I was, too.
I was, but at the same time, I was a little aroused, and it worked for some reason. I was like, okay, this could be dope. And I was also glad that the trailer didn't show Common's character from the second one.
Is he going to be in it? Do we know?
I'm pretty sure he will be.
I think so.
But I'm like, they need to leave that completely out of the trailers until we see him on screen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he left him alive.
Yeah.
And that little smirk at the end when he was like, you know, consider this a professional courtesy. I think that's going to go a long way. And we're going to see him come up there to the aid of John Wick.
Yeah. It's okay. You think Common's going to make a turn and be like, okay.
Yes.
You let me live.
Cassian.
Yeah, Cassian.
Yes. I think he's going to come in and be like, you know, he let me live when he didn't have to. Like, I had been trying to kill him, hitting him with stiff jabs the whole movie. Those were, like, my favorite fights.
Yeah. They were
amazing.
Easily the best. Better than the final fight in that movie, to be honest.
I just hope that, like you said, this third movie, they stay practical.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, don't do this. I remember seeing him on the horse. And
Well, and for me, one way that you could make, because I was already stoked to know that they were making a third one. But how do you make me want to see John Wick 3 even more than I already did? You add Mark Dacascos, and when I saw him,
I was like, what the fuck?
When I saw him in the trailer, I was like, hell yes, let's do this. But I also have fears with that, because he was a bad guy in a Jet Li movie, and it was one of those Jet Li asked his fans, like, who do you want to see me fight? And everybody was like, Mark Dacascos. But it was in one of those that was produced by the same people who did Romeo Must Die. That one Steven Seagal one. But the movies all have that same format where the good guy never really gets touched by the bad guy.
Yeah.
So the final fight's kind of anticlimactic. And so I got super excited for their fight in that, and then it was a big letdown. So I'm just hoping that in this we get a good, you know, a good scene, since he's an actual martial artist. Like,
but
I'd like to see
John
some
Wick's
real action.
Not. So it's going to be interesting. Like,
but who was the guy in the first movie that he fought? There was the henchman who was an actual Daniel Bernhardt, I think.
Yeah.
Was an actual martial artist.
He played
artist.
One of the agents in...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
In the nightclub.
Well,
you know the nightclub scene?
Yeah.
And they mixed it up. There was some martial arts and some gunplay. And I feel like they could really do that with Mark Dacascos as well. So
I think it's going to knock it out of the park. For whatever reason, like, this series can do no wrong to me. I remember being skeptical of even the second one. and it exceeded all expectations. They opened up a whole world with this thing. At the end, it kind of seemed a little far-fetched, like you're against the whole world now, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, we just saw him shoot like 900 people, so whatever, you know. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited, though.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Especially, like, because I keep bringing this up every time we talk about it, but, like the videos that they put out of, like, Keanu Reeves training, like, he's a certified judo master now.
Yeah, he's
a gun expert now.
He's practically John Wick now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is John Wick. They're like, okay, we're going to have you run through this. Like, I got it. Thank you. I'll take it from here.
Pretty much. Now, we got to just see, like, him and Tom Cruise in a regular fight now.
Honestly,
the same way.
We need to do another bracket, another fighting.
Oh yeah, thing. For sure. I know the chat is also have been mentioning Polar, which is on Netflix.
Yes.
Which I heard is like John Wick, mm-hmm. very similarly, but with Mads Mikkelsen, mm-hmm. I think is the main character.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I know Jarek just watched it and said it was pretty good. So let's see here. Exhale says Common went excommunicata and became a rapper.
That's his name. His name is DMX Communicata.
So what's next, Danny?
Up next is MK11.
Oh, my God.
Fuck yes.
It's been
too long.
This was one of the ones we were going to talk about last week. But the gameplay footage for this.
It looks... I feel like they're trying to up themselves. Like, how can we make this more disgusting? Like, every game?
It does. It feels like they made Injustice 2 and, like... They had to tone it down so much mm-hmm. that they were just raging, you know,
like
they were having tantric sex
yeah.
and they had to hold it in so long that when they got to make this one, they're just like, let it all out.
There's too much good stuff coming out, man. It really, like, I'm still playing Black Ops 4 because I figured out it was amazing and the zombies are on the Titanic. And then this is coming out. Anthem's coming out. I just picked up the Resident Evil 2 remake. Like,
oh, I got to get that too.
Yeah, it came out today, Friday. There's so much good stuff
yeah.
coming out, and this is just going to consume my life, and I already know it.
I was just telling I'm not going to go on long about this, but I was just telling Danny the first of the betas for Anthem came out this weekend. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I was gone, so I get home and find out that the beta ends at 6 p.m. I had just enough time to download it, and then left me with a half hour to try it. And I also did see on the internet that everyone was bitching because it was having loads of problems. Sure shit. I tried loading into that game twice, and it locked up. One time I had to reset the entire Xbox. When I finally did get in to do some gameplay, I got to try it out a little bit, and then I got killed, and then it was like respawning, and then my guy was just frozen there, and then it went from respawning to low health, and I could feel the vibrations in the control like I'm being shot, but I was still locked up like I'd been killed, so... I had to turn it off again, and then I had to leave and come here. So,
well, you know why that happened, right?
Yeah,
because you didn't buy the deluxe edition.
Fuck you, BioWare. No,
it's not BioWare. It's EA. That is all EA.
I think they're the same now.
No, BioWare is kind of buggy. It's in the game.
So, but anyway, so I was a little upset about that. I know Derek did buy. He pre-ordered Kingdom Hearts, so we'll probably maybe next week have a spoiler-free.
Yeah, I'll just be here next
review
week too,
on that
because we're never going to see him again. I remember how it was when the first Kingdom Hearts came out, and I think I grew a beard before I had facial hair, being in the house so long. So yeah, we're never going to see Derek again, ever.
I accept
your offer to replace him.
Some people might be okay with that.
So I mean, what did you guys think of what we saw for Mortal Kombat? Did you guys watch the launch event?
I didn't watch all of it. I watched the cliff notes, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw like the clips that got put together on YouTube from it.
Okay.
And
I wish I would have done that because I basically just loaded up the whole video, and then anytime I just saw white dudes talking, I skipped past it
and get to the game footage. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much y'all were into MKX. I know we played a couple of times at Derek's, but this one, it's just polished. I don't even know how else to describe it.
It's pretty.
And this is the thing. I remember when the MKX came out and we saw the first trailer that they claimed was going to be the gameplay footage, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't any of those dynamic camera angles. It was a pretty version of the last one. Mm-hmm. This one looks like they're delivering on that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I mean, we're going to get it. Like, it's one of those shut up and take my money games.
Oh, yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I liked MKX. I think that was the reason I bought my Xbox One, mm-hmm. was so that I could play it because we knew it wasn't going to be on the 360. And I mean, the problem with fighting games is they have a short shelf life. I play the story mode, and then I'll play, you know, the regular tournament modes a while.
Yeah.
I don't have friends that like to come by and play in person, so I don't ever get to play versus a lot.
That came out very Ezra Miller flash.
I know.
I need friends.
I need friends. Yeah, and I don't like to play online, like versus online. I'm just not into it. So
online, just because everybody's
amazing.
So good.
Everybody's already good at it. It's not even out. What up, Donald? See him chiming in. He's out there in Arizona. Good constituent, good nerd friend of mine.
Good constituent. He voted for you.
The gentleman from Arizona.
Now he runs a page called DB Gamer, and they do the nerd thing too. All our nerd culture. He's on the level. He's on the level.
All right. And he said, finally caught you guys live. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
All right. XL says the game mechanics are a bit slower, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and they got rid of like the X-ray moves, and now they've introduced the final blows.
Yeah, now just everything looks like an X-ray.
Now everything looks like an X-ray move, which is fine because that was one of the selling points for MKX was just those brutal beatdowns that you can throw in with the X-rays.
The two bow and arrows through both eyes, and then when it's over, they still have two eyes.
And isn't the storyline thing that they're doing with this one is supposed to allow a bunch of characters from the past to come back in?
Yeah, they're introducing like a time travel thing into the story because like they're introducing like the god of time,
characters
Kronika.
That died basically.
As long as I get normal Liu Kang back, I'll be.
It
happy.
Looks like there's like a Shaolin monks kind of spinoff storyline on this. Which looks dope.
Yeah.
Because I saw Liu Kang and Kung Lao back-to-back fighting. So I'm psyched for that because I loved Shaolin Monks. That was such a dope game.
What do we think of Ronda Rousey as Sonya Blade?
Oh, doing the mocap?
Yeah, I think it's mocap and voice.
Yeah. I think she was voice as well.
I think that's cool, actually.
I do, too.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
People are such haters for her. Like, she didn't... Anyway, I'm not going to get on that. But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm looking forward. Because Sonya's one of my girls that I normally use, so... Yeah, I loved her in the last one.
Michael Merlin says, MK11, where you chop someone's head off after exploding their chest stomach just to get the point across.
Yeah.
It's true.
And Torrent said, the problem with playing MK online is fighters just like him that sit across the screen and just throw projectiles at you. I've played you before, fucker. No, I'm just kidding. He's an honorable man.
It's called ranging.
Is that what it's called?
Yes. What's funny is when I tried playing not the second Injustice, the first one. I tried playing online a couple times, and my go-to guy was Deathstroke. But I didn't play Deathstroke like a bitch, like the people that I found online.
Yeah, people
sit and shoot. They just sit and shoot. Like, I like the sword combos with him, which is also why I liked, I think, Robin in the
Robin
second
was,
one.
He didn't work for me. Like the
he was like my best
him.
Character. I just love the sword
the people
combos.
People that could use Robin, I did not play them. If I saw them pick Robin, I left the game because I knew something. I knew it was coming.
But yeah, I played a mirror match with Deathstroke online once, and the other fucking asshole just on the other end of the screen just pew-pew.
Yeah,
firing the machine gun. I don't think I ever got across that screen.
That's like people that use Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
If they just sit and shoot arrows, it's like, what'd you buy the game for to press circle? Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But see, I frustrate people on Injustice using Supergirl, too, because you can jump towards somebody and fly the other way and punch
them
on the other side of the screen.
Yeah.
And it's so fluid, it's real hard to block. But I'm like, it's legal. Like, whatever. You know.
So, all right. Well, let's...
Just ranging, right?
Yeah. let's move on to our next topic.
Next topic?
Danny? Yes.
Or the next... thing in current events.
That would be the next topic.
That
would, okay,
yeah,
the next thing. Okay.
The same thing.
So the next thing is Spider-Man Far From Home.
So there was, the trailer that came out for Spider-Man Far From Home. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I didn't know the Prince of Persia had a cape, so this is weird for me.
He does look in the face almost identical to how he did in that movie.
Okay, is this movie before or after?
It apparently is after the events of Infinity War. Or I should say Endgame, after Endgame.
Okay, that pisses me off.
Yes, because it's just saying, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck your feelings and that you were waiting to see what happened. We got movies to sell.
Yeah.
And they could have waited.
Derek and I had a conversation about this. If you were gonna release this trailer, the appropriate time to do it would have been at the release of Endgame.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not none of this leak it online bullshit beforehand. Because I feel like nowadays... we get trailers so far ahead of time online that when you see them in a movie theater, you're kind of over it by that point. And so if there were just nothing and then they marketed it to where, hey, go see Avengers Endgame and see the new trailer for Spider-Man, everybody would – because you're already on board to see that movie. But knowing that you're going to see the trailer that no one's ever seen for this movie, you would lose your shit.
Okay, but this is something else that I noticed too. Like alluding to the whole trailer thing you just mentioned.
Yeah.
We see the trailers online. I am always dumbfounded when I'm sitting in the theater for a new movie and people get excited when they see, like, when you see this in the theater, there's going to be people that clap and stuff like they've never seen it. We're nerds, guys.
Yeah.
And we get hyped.
Yeah, but that's the thing. A lot of people really don't go to YouTube to look up. I do it like once a week just to see if anything new came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't. But to me, like, I remember saying to myself, I'm not watching this. I don't want to see the trailer until after I see Endgame. And I just ended up caving. My kids were all like, oh, I already saw it. You know, I was like, you fuckers. So I had to see it just so we could talk about it. But I really wish that we didn't already know. Which we already knew, but we didn't know. You know what I mean? So I'm not cool with it. But the trailer was awesome, and I loved it, and I want to go see it.
it does look good, I think. I'm excited to see a different one of his enemies.
Yeah,
it's about time, too.
It's about time.
Mysterio is one of, like, the classic Spider-Man baddies, so I'm psyched.
Yeah, we've seen all of the, you know, like the brief shitty glimpse of Rhino and stuff like that. And I like that he's not in New York.
Yeah.
Because that's the only place we ever see him traditionally.
That's true.
That's why I was excited to see him in Washington, you know, because just a different venue. So.
And in the suburbs.
Yeah, that was the most fun part.
When he goes the web slinging, there's no buildings. Yeah.
On a golf course, yeah, like...
Jay Booth says, was it just Hydro Man or was Sandman there too? I thought I saw him once.
It's neither of those guys. It's actually the Elementals. It's, oh God, I know one is Hellfire. The other one is Magnum. And I don't know the water one. I don't know his name. But they're it's not the Hydro Man or Sandman.
Aquaman.
And Julius Kelly said, if I'm not mistaken, both Sandman and Hydro are not the actual villains. I think they are illusions.
That could be, yeah. That's,
I know a lot of people are speculating that there are no actual villains,
and
that
he's
it is
making them see this
that
thing.
It is Mysterio, which is the problem with having Mysterio in the movie and have him acting like he's a good guy is that if you're familiar with comics, you know he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I am interested to see which direction they go with the story for this one.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. Tom Holland is the perfect Spider-Man to me. So,
He's awesome. All right, what's next, Danny?
Up next is Venom 2.
Okay, now this news was super old. You threw this at me like the week that we had a show and you weren't here. And I was like, well, I'm not talking about that. But then I decided we would talk about it later. So your article was that it was definitely being made, but there was something about they might change directors,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, based on what I saw, wouldn't probably be a bad thing.
Yeah, no. No, I think it wasn't directors. I think it was writer, new writer. I don't remember what he was from.
Oh, I thought they were sticking with the writer.
Mm-mm.
I'll look up your article right now, Danny.
But I think with this one, this is one of those movies, and I know Derek pitched like the whole new thing we were going to do, but when I watched it in the theater and I was here talking about it, I fell asleep. I watched it at home, and I didn't hate it. I was glad to finally see the whole movie and be like, hey, where's that warehouse scene I thought I saw? I dreamed that whole thing. So I really did. I was like, is really a warehouse fight? And my kids were like, what are you talking about?
Did you like dream a better movie?
I guess. Shit, I had to see.
Is this the new thing? We're going to dream better movies now?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe like Inception. Well, I'll go to sleep and make it better. But I think they're going to learn from the first one. I think they got lucky and it was good enough. And I enjoyed the banter between Eddie and Venom. I did. And I know I'm alone in that. I think the second one is gonna. I think they're gonna learn some things. Now, of course, we might see Carnage, and depending on how they do that. As much as I hated him at the end of that movie,
yeah.
He looks exactly like the comic book Carnage.
Yeah, I mean,
so
he does,
it's like he looks corny. Yeah, yeah.
He's supposed to.
He is. Yeah. So.
All right. So Danny, it says that the screenwriter Kelly Marcel has made negotiations to return.
Okay,
and that it's the director.
The director
that
okay.
will most likely not. Who's the director here? Ruben Fleischer. It says it's unlikely that he will return because as he's be working on Zombieland 2.
Okay.
So yeah, so it'll probably be a different director. Which again, I think is fine if because I didn't hate the movie. It just it wasn't great.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So although it made a fuck ton of money, I don't. Not really sure why, but I feel like, look, I'm fine with it making money, but I feel like it made more money than it deserved to make.
And I think anybody that saw it, and I don't know who went back, but they have to be honest with themselves to say that. But I don't know. I enjoy it at home. When I'm sitting at the house, I don't mind the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, though. The stuff between Eddie Brock and Venom is the best part of the movie. Yeah. And it's just all this other shit that's around it, and we don't really get stuff developed well enough, and it feels kind of rushed.
It feels like a turd in the wind.
Like a turd in the wind.
You can't tell me that watching it back, though. You don't wait for that part. Like, I have to watch this movie to hear that line. So.
Well, especially because, like, it came at the end of the movie when you find out Venom and Brock have worked out their shit. And, like, he's, like, using Venom as, like, the lethal protector now. And it's just like, all right, that's actually kind of funny now.
They're almost painting him like a good guy, though.
I mean, he kind of is in that
yeah, cause
story
they're,
arc.
They're going with the lethal protector story arc, which, yeah, he's an anti-hero in that. So,
gosh, exhale. What a comment.
Wow.
I'd rather suck Venom out of my own. Gosh.
Own ass. Wow. Yeah, that's that movie touched you in a special way.
Yeah, yeah. You have very strong feelings about Venom.
Oh, my God. Let's see here. Get some chat out. Frank Calderon says, you're not alone. I love their banter.
Thank you, Frank.
I think most people, it looks like in the chat, kind of agreed that the banter was really good between them. Nate Washington says, hi guys. Hello, Nate. And
one of the guys, you know, Marcus, that used to watch the show all the time. I don't know if he's on. Me and him had a conversation about it. He absolutely hates the movie. Marcus hates most things, but
he's a purist.
It stinks. He was talking about how he hated the banter between them, and he's a big fan of Tom. So he was like, I was looking forward to seeing him do his thing. And he's like, I hated seeing him all weekend. Why would we do that? And stuff. I was like, but he's so unsure of himself. And he's like, why did they call him a loser? Like, he was a top journalist and da da da. And then he lost his job. Whatever. I was like, well, that's the loser part they were trying to convey. He is not sure of himself. And Venom kind of gives him that courage or confidence back, rather. So it worked, but it really was them, I feel like, figuring out the character as the movie went along. Because by about the third act, you can see he's kind of got how it should be played.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first started, it does feel disjointed. So I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I still think it's weird that he eats people, but that's
just me.
So.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing because they also take from the Sin Eater story arc. And, I mean, that's kind of what he did.
Yeah, but I don't know, for movie purposes, I think it's weird.
It is weird.
Romeric says, Venom was like asking your mom for a scooter and she brings home a skateboard with a handlebar.
All right, what's next?
It's main event time.
All right.
All right, so here's what's up, guys. Sequels get made all the time, and often, like we just discussed, maybe, I mean, this sequel will improve upon the original, but a lot of times they don't often improve upon the original. And so what we're going to do tonight is I've chosen some of the best of the worst sequels.
The best of the worst.
Yes. Some of the, and bigger name films. I tried to pick stuff that most everyone would have seen.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we're going to try to fix these movies. Like, how would we have changed things to make these movies better and palatable?
You're not going to like it, Sam.
And we want
to hear. I'm afraid.
Don't ruin the surprise, Danny.
I'm afraid. Yeah, did I just get set up and I didn't know it? Hey,
no,
Sam,
no, no.
Can you come?
No, it was just one, and this movie was going to be on there regardless.
Okay,
but
all
it's
right.
Just...
I'll wait for it. Damn you, Danny.
And so, like I said, we want to hear from you guys, too. If you have thoughts on how you would have improved these films, we want to hear from you as well. So definitely throw it in the chat. All right, what is up first?
Up first is Dawn of Justice.
Yes, Batman v. Superman. Dawn of Justice. But it's not the Ultimate Edition, Sam.
It's not.
So.
It's not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not the Ultimate? All right.
Yeah, the theatrical release.
All right.
Do you bleed?
Somewhere, like Derek's bicep just twitched or something.
Yeah.
He has no idea why.
It's something on him is burning.
Gotham needs me.
So, look, I know most of us are on the same page with this movie not being good.
It is not.
But I don't think that there's a good movie in there somewhere.
There is.
Yes.
How could we have changed it to make it better, to make this a good movie?
I'm gonna let Danny go first.
I mean, I have an idea. I think what this movie suffered from was throwing too much at the audience. We got like three or four different storylines in this movie, and we weren't really sure, like who to root for. the entire movie. And I guess that's kind of the point, because like Civil War was kind of the same thing. However, Civil War, they really didn't have too much to throw at anybody. They just adapted the main run of Civil War to the Avengers MCU universe. So this one, I think, it just tried to throw too much. It was Death of Superman.
I mean, the MCU already had all those characters developed in other movies. Yeah. Like
that's
they
true.
Probably should have. So your first suggestion would be to just remove all of the Justice League stuff.
Yes. And I think you set up you do Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take it to the chat real quick. XL says that warehouse scene is what you dreamed about, Sam.
Yes, you're absolutely right. If there's anything that I will like argue to the death on, that was the coolest Batman scene we've seen him in.
Yes.
Period. Yeah. So
it's hands down my favorite time that Batman has murdered people.
You're talking about where he saves Martha, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he murdered some people in.
Which he really did. He absolutely killed some people.
And especially there. Like I know when we talk about Ultimate Edition, like the parts where people hit the wall, like they took the blood out, you know, to tone it down, because they do show blood spatters on those people that he's killing.
Because before that, my favorite time Batman murdered people was in Batman Returns. When Batman dropped that guy down the hole with the bomb strapped to him. That was my favorite Batman murder sequence up till Batman v Superman.
Not when Val Kilmer threw up a bunch of quarters and.
Well, technically, he didn't kill.
Technically, my ass.
I love how they like zoomed in on Robin's face while he orgasmed watching it.
Oh, it was like watching Speed Racer.
Anyway, back to this.
Yes. Julius Kelly said, how about more than a 5-minute fight scene?
Yeah. Let's have multiple fight scenes.
So if it's going to be called Batman v Superman, you want to see more of Batman v Superman? Is what you're saying?
And less Wonder Woman?
It's a bold
Although,
strategy,
I will say,
Cotton.
She was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, but I think if you're taking out the Justice League angle, then she can't be there.
She can't be there.
Well, but also, it wasn't bad.
But also, I think you need to take out the Doomsday bullshit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Also, yeah. That's like the whole Death of Superman
and
stuff.
And also,
all that needs to go.
Recast Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Why not? Like, Bryan Cranston was, like, my pick for that.
Yeah. I think he would have been great. I think my pick for that was literally anybody else. And it would have been a
Vin Diesel,
movie.
Why not?
It could have been anybody, dude. It could have been, like, Nick Cannon. Like, anybody. It could have been anybody.
XL says, remove Jesse Eisenberg feeding another man lifesavers and you have a classic. First off, the Jolly Ranchers. Get it right.
Yes. Seriously.
Yeah.
Get your
not knowing
checked.
Candy motherfucker.
Yeah, Frank, I'm not a flight risk, bro. If you've seen me on this show with this particular movie, me and Derek had like a 3-month fight about this film, and Mike was right in the middle of it the whole time. Like, yeah. I really think they're going to divorce.
Yeah.
So, and we're not together. I know
it was rough. I didn't know who was going to win custody of me. So. It was...
And we split 50-50, but I'm the parent that Mike likes more.
It is. It's true. He's the cool dad.
Sam's the one you call when it's just like not working out with Derek. Can I come over?
Derek's always in his jazzercise classes. He's kind of neglectful. You know what I mean? Like,
this movie, it was polarizing. It was absolutely polarizing. I remember seeing this a couple of times with different friends, and as soon as young Bruce Wayne's feet leave the ground, everybody was like, oh, hell, I'm already checked out. Like, what are they doing? And then they do the whole, I had this dream. It was like, you already lost us, man. You know, so they had a lot of missteps. If they were going to go this route, I feel like they just made the mistake of rushing, trying to catch up, and they're finally learning from that. Yeah. Everything that we were screaming on the internet for years, why don't y'all just take your time and do it right? They were like, nope, we're going to put 9 movies in Batman versus Superman.
Well, and then they followed up with Justice League, and then that does poorly. And then Aquaman comes out and does gangbusters, and then they're like, oh,
we just had to wait. Yeah. It's crazy that they had to literally fail like 3-4 times to figure it out. It's dumb.
Yeah.
But
any other thoughts on how we can fix it?
Exhale says the only problem with removing Doomsday is what foe would unite all 3 superpowers?
Well, again, you're taking out the Justice League aspect, so it's really just them two. And I mean, it's as easy as just having Lex Luthor kidnap Martha.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need.
There was an hour-long disposition of them getting set up to fight that didn't need to be there.
Yeah, well, because if we didn't have all the Justice League crap and Wonder Woman squeezed into this movie and Doomsday, then the sole focus could have been on how Lex Luthor sets them up to fight each other.
Yes.
And if that had been more well-developed, I might have bought it more. But it was so... I don't know. It's just
quick.
It's so dumb in the way that
they're just
the
so
plays
quick
out.
To hate each other.
Yeah,
it's real dumb. And then like I was telling Derek, because he swears I was saying the movie was good. I've never said the movie was good. I was saying the Ultimate Edition made it make sense because the stuff that they took out was like more of the why they're fighting to make it make more sense and not seem so rushed. Because it was like, oh, okay, we're enemies, and now, oh yeah, the names are the same. She won't die tonight. And everybody's fine, and I'm buying the bank so you can get your house back. Like, it was it's just too much too fast.
Ashley Allison has been, she's just into the eye candy in these movies.
I see.
Because she said, I like Wonder Woman, she's so hot, and then she said she was drooling during Aquaman. Weren't we all?
I was not.
Atlanteans! Can you dig it?
You smell what the Ocean Master's cooking? Probably not, because you're underwater. I don't know.
You're not done with that. I've got two words for you.
Sharks can smell, and they can also roar like lions, apparently. According to Aquaman.
It's what's happening underwater. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know? We can't. We're just not, you know, attuned to that frequency.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Let's see. Excel says, cutting out the scenes that explain the Superman witch hunt that didn't make sense that then appeared... That Soup saved a bunch of ungrateful Wakandans?
Yes.
Wakandans?
And see, that's what's in the Ultimate Edition, the black lady that came to testify.
Yeah, yeah.
All of these movies have taught me a black woman can guilt trip you into fighting your best friend. Like, that's what happened in Civil War to turn Tony Stark. She's like, you killed my son, Stark. He's like, all right, cool. We got to break up the Avengers. Like, that's rich, what it is.
Also, I think if in the courtroom scene, when it blows up, I think if Superman just would have flown around the world backwards a few times... And then, you know.
I wonder if the peach tea, like, splashed on her right before she died. And she's like, oh, my God, it's not tea. And then she blew up.
It's not tea.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's move on to our next movie.
Yeah.
It's a dick move, too, putting that one first, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Sorry. I apologize.
I know what this is now.
Next is Jaws the Revenge.
Okay. So if you are not familiar with Jaws the Revenge... This sweet little ditty involves a shark taking revenge.
Because this time
it's personal.
It's personal.
And swimming around the world.
It literally goes from New England all the way down to the Bahamas.
The Bahamas. Faster than the fucking plane,
Faster
I think.
Faster than the plane, yes.
And seeks these people out. I don't know if you can fix this one, but let's fix
not only that, but it retconned Jaws 3D. Totally. It erases Jaws 3D.
It just takes it out of existence. But also 3D kind of sucked too. So
yeah.
So how would we fix this?
I think at the beginning of this movie, they should have the shark on the phone going, "You don't understand. I have a specific set of skills. And I will find you."
I also like that
we're along for everything else.
That Jason Lane commented, it's just weird that it worked out this way because I had made the thing about the sharks roaring, and he said the shark roared in Jaws.
It did.
While we were talking about that, and now we're actually talking about Jaws.
Yeah.
But at least it roared out of the water.
Yeah.
And that was just because it couldn't breathe.
So. I think it was getting an electroshock or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
Blown up, whatever.
I'd say
the only thing that can make this movie better is if Thanos snapped and the whole production team disappeared. Like, past the first one, I couldn't. My son wanted to sit in marathon Jaws, and I was just like, I don't have enough alcohol in the house. Like, you can't do this.
Donald asks, is that the one where Jaws ate Mario Van Peebles?
He just bit him.
Just got a taste.
Yeah.
Just a sample.
Yeah, he bit him, he died, and he woke up solo.
I think you just figured out how we fixed this movie.
We fixed it. Yeah. See, there
we
it
fixed
is.
Two movies in one.
There it is. Derek is so fired, man.
And then Jason Lane says, yeah, I traveled from the Bahamas chasing her, made good time, too, traveling 1,300 plus miles in 2.5 days.
Oh, man.
That's because it's a robot shark, guys.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I don't make Ellen Brody the main character, I think.
Okay.
And definitely more Michael Caine.
So do you think maybe instead of this psychic shark killing the first son, like right out the gate, maybe we still keep it in in the original town?
Yeah.
Island?
Yeah. What? Why? Amityville? Why? I mean, it's one of those things where it suffers what most sequels suffer, where it's like, we can't do it again in the same place. We have to go somewhere exotic.
Yeah.
And like, I hate to say it, but Far From Home's doing that too, where it's like, yeah, let's go to Europe. Why?
Was Roy Scheider already dead?
Roy Scheider was dead, yes. Yeah. I think it was he got sick and died, or it was a heart attack or some shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ellen's like, it was the shark. He died because he had a dream about the shark.
Oh, no. I don't mean his character. I know how his character was dead, but was Roy Scheider, like the actor, still alive at this point?
I think
he was, because didn't he? He was on like Sequest
forever.
Yeah,
he was in Sequest, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So he just didn't decline?
Yeah, he just was like, I no, two was enough. Thank you.
He just read the script and was like, yeah, that's I'll pass.
I'm prepping for the Punisher movie. Just...
It's a megalodon.
It's a goddamn megalodon.
Let's see. We got... I'm probably going to slaughter your first name here. Romaric? Romaric?
Yeah.
Romaric says, make Jaws the villain in BVS, and then they're both the winners.
Do you bleed?
But you will. But why does the shark want revenge in Batman v Superman?
The shark's mom's name is Martha.
Oh, it's also named Martha?
Yes.
No.
Everybody's mom's name is Martha.
Because in Batman 66, when they hit up with the shark repellent back spray.
There you go.
Ah.
You just nailed it. Batman killed the shark, and now the shark wants revenge.
Nice.
And it also happened to swallow a meteorite, so it has kryptonite inside it.
Yep.
This is perfect.
This is perfect, because sharks eat anything.
The chat has just nailed this. We've just solved it.
Lois Lane just happens to be scuba diving nearby. So, okay, yeah. This writes itself.
I think we're good on this one, yeah?
Let's see. Davina Lira says, Tim says, it has Michael Caine exclaiming, oh shit, as a shark is at his plane. It can't get better than that.
Yeah.
Or ate his plane, yeah.
Oh shit.
Let's see. Michael Merlin says, I would also accept the shark getting picked up by a tornado so we could have Sharknado back in 1987.
Tremors was still hot. They had to let that go away. So,
I honestly, this one is such a weird ass movie. I think the only way to fix it would be to erase it from existence.
Retcon it. Yeah.
To just not have made it. You know, because while three was bad, I could live with the fact that the two sons went off and became marine biologists, and one was a loser or whatever.
Yeah.
But this one, besides the crazy shit we came up with, it's unredeemable.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm. Look,
I'm waiting for a reboot.
We can't save everything, guys.
You think they're going to reboot Jaws?
I think they tried
with Deep Blue Sea.
I didn't feel that way with Deep Blue Sea.
No, I didn't either. But I enjoyed Deep Blue Sea. Didn't see the sequel.
There was a sequel?
There was a sequel?
There was, and it was a straight-to-video one, and it's the same movie. They basically, it's only like came out like last year or the year before.
Oh, God.
It is essentially the exact same plot from the first one, just with nobodies.
That sounds terrible.
And there was mostly nobodies in the first one.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like the first one, right?
Yeah.
Like the famous person in that is Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably LL Cool J.
LL Cool J, yeah.
Because I don't think Tom Jane was that well known at the time. So, but that's where I fell in love with him.
Yeah, and I feel like they saw Anaconda work and they made Deep Blue Sea.
I was like,
we need another animal.
When the first time I saw him in that movie, I was like, I didn't know Steve Guttenberg was still doing stuff. I legitimately thought.
You thought that was Steve Guttenberg?
Look, in that movie, he looks like Steve Guttenberg. He really does. Like maybe a more fit Steve Guttenberg, but okay. He still looked like him. Anyway. All right, what's next?
Up next is The Matrix Rethroated.
Yes. This movie. So
I already know we're going to disagree here.
Do you enjoy this film?
I do.
Well, you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. So I don't think this one is completely like I definitely think 3 is more of a terrible film than 2.
Yes.
But my problems with 2 are the kind of the behind the scenes drama about it. So after the first movie is kind of based off of a book about philosophy, and they got the principle wrong, and the actual author of the book was like, you're idiots, you got it wrong. And so they tried to correct that in this movie by using other philosophies and stuff, and it's so convoluted, in my opinion.
Oh, no. Okay, we do agree there. It did get lost in itself.
Yes.
But for me, you know, we got teased with the things that Neo can do in the first one. And then it ends, and at the time, nobody knew if we were going to get a sequel or not. But it turned into a phenomenon. So to see him in full-on You Are the One, I loved it. I loved seeing, like, the him and Trinity, even though their relationship never quite felt like they really liked each other. Yeah. It's like, lack of options, we're going to bone. Like,
yeah.
Look, you can only get Keanu to do so much.
I know. I asked too much of him, you know. But yeah, I did. I enjoyed Reloaded. I didn't like certain things, but overall, like, I can sit and watch this movie anytime.
So. You think if Aaliyah hadn't died during production, you think this movie would have done better?
No.
No? You don't think that character is big enough?
She can't act.
It's true.
And I love Aaliyah. I'm saying that as somebody that loves that girl more than R. Kelly did. So, but I don't. She really can't act. So,
and no. It's not a one person could fix this movie. Yeah. I have a couple of thoughts that I think would have improved it. I think that if there would have been more practical effects in the fight sequences, okay. When he starts fighting the dozen or so Agent Smiths, and it gets like really bad animation, like cartoony, that really takes me out of it. It took me out of it then, and now it just looks even more dated. I just wish those fights would have been a little just handled more carefully, but it felt like the studio was either rushing them or something, because I know they filmed both movies back to back. And I feel like it looks a little bit rushed, you know. The fights, there's the one fight he has in the mansion with the guys.
That fight was awesome.
And that's one of the best fights in the movie because it is. Sure, there's a lot of wire work, but it's all real people doing stuff.
But at the time when he had to fight all the Smiths, you got to admit that was cool as fuck. The first time you saw it, you weren't really thinking about how rubbery they looked.
When they first started showing up, I was like, yes. But the moment he grabbed the pole and started doing that,
helicoptering.
I honestly, even when I saw it, I was like, ew.
Yeah, I loved it.
It's literally just like, okay, now we're watching a video game.
Okay, but check it out. This is the beauty of The Matrix, is that you know it's fake already. The Matrix itself is fake.
Do I, Sam?
Oh, God.
Maybe don't do this. Maybe I'm in The Matrix.
Don't do this. See, you're getting the philosophy wrong. You're doing that thing they did.
So, Michael Merlin says, ditch Zion altogether. Fucking.
Yeah, the Zion scenes were terrible.
Preach it. I don't need a 5-minute fucking orgy in Zion. Like, that made me so uncomfortable. I'm like, what am I even watching right now? Why is this here?
I love it. Like, yeah.
It's like, we're all going to die. Let's party!
Everybody, before we fuck, here's Morpheus, everybody. So let us shake them walls.
When this cave's a-rockin', don't come a-knockin'. Zion! Atlanteans!
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Donald says the game Path of Neo was better than the movie. I never got to play that one.
Path of Neo was great. He is absolutely right. That was an amazing video game. And there were clips in it that they took out of the movie or did just for that. So you got to see Niobe fight. You got to see Roy Jones Jr.'s character fight.
Yep.
And it was brilliant. I was like, this is the perfect mix of video game and movie.
Did you get to have all your cool, like, Neo moments in the game as well?
Yes, you could still do all of that stuff. Remember when Morpheus was fighting the agent on top of the truck and he fell? You play for about a half an hour as Niobe trying to get to that point where the car is behind.
Wasn't that Enter the Matrix?
Both of the games.
Okay. Because I was going to say, Enter the Matrix follows Ghost and Niobe.
Yes, both of the games have pieces of it in it.
Okay.
Yeah, and when they're doing that, you get to see what all the other people were doing while, you know, the main characters are doing their thing. Yep. You get to, you know, leave when the agents show up at that first meeting. Like, it was really good. It was really good. So,
Romeric Anderson says the architect convo was ass. Ergo, what? If I wrote the script, Neo's line would be, "What you talk about, Willis?" And then Jason Lane says, bullshit, the whole movie should be the Zion orgy.
I'm pretty sure it's on Pornhub
just
somewhere.
3 hours of slow motion white people who can't dance grinding.
Hot water.
Jay Booth says they needed the gun kata fighting style from Equilibrium.
Oh, man.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes.
I remember when the marketing for Equilibrium was piss poor, but they were trying to... they were trying to make those parallels to the Matrix when they were doing the marketing for it. Because I think it was like the...
Better Than the Matrix was on the box. That was on the box.
Was it?
Yes.
And in a lot of ways it was.
In bold italic.
I do think Equilibrium was better than the sequels to the Matrix.
Yes.
For sure. Let's see. The Smith fight was even fun. It was even fun and intense in the game. Oh, that's what you're saying. So the Smith fight was even fun and intense in the game is what Donald was saying. And then XL says, I understood the architect. That's why the scene didn't bother me. Figured the god of the Matrix would talk like that. All right. But, I mean, you still got to appeal to your general audience, I feel. And I don't know that that quite does that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, it felt like the Wachowskis were just pulling shit out of their ass to try to fix a problem that really didn't need fixing. Who gives a fuck what the original author of the book that you're basing your movie on says? Your movie made $1 billion.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
His opinion is completely gone now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, XL just wanted to seem like the smartest guy in the chat. I understood the architect perfectly. you didn't understand the architect?
Ergo, I like the movie.
Vis-a-vis, fellas, vis-a-vis.
So Michael Merlin says, honestly, the second movie shouldn't have followed Neo at all. Neo was already established as being invincible. It should have followed another character, maybe explore Agent Smith's descent into the virus status.
That'd have been cool.
That'd have been interesting.
Yeah.
And Neo just pops up when they really need help, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Because they never really go into that. They never really explain how Smith was able to avoid deletion.
And honestly, some could make the argument that Agent Smith is actually the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could.
So.
Sort of like Neville Longbottom there. Yeah. That would make sense. But yeah, I remember, you know, they had that little short conversation and he basically said that he got deleted and he's like, no, I don't want to. And I'm like, so every program can just choose to stay?
Yeah.
If that's the case, you know, how did he have the fortitude or whatever to avoid being deleted?
But then something happens to him, like they change or like they hack.
Well, in Agent Smith's case, he just contracted a real nasty porn virus is what it was. You know, you can't kill those things.
Okay, that's what it was. Remember, he was a byproduct of whatever Neo did when he jumped in his body. So he hadn't done that to anybody else. Because one would presume, after you do that to one, wouldn't you just stay in the Matrix and just dive in agents all day and blow them up?
Yeah. In fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I think Agent Smith is just a metaphor for herpes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he's a computer virus.
Me too.
He's the I love you email.
It's just everybody he comes in contact with, he's giving it to him and spreading it. Anyway, this is derailed. I don't know how herpes fixes that movie.
Cookies need love, but, like everything does.
Cyber herpes, yes.
I would say that too. More Seraph.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I think you get to use him in one of those games we were talking about.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I know you fight him in Enter the Matrix.
The table keeps bumping the camera.
When you play as Ghost, so you get to...
So your OCD is kicking in. Yeah.
I keep seeing the camera shake, and as a viewer, I would be like, stop it. So I'm trying to fix that. Anyway. So, this isn't Jaws the Revenge, clearly, but there's ways to improve upon it, like I said. And I would also end the movie differently. I'm kind of over this whole, like, not telling a whole story and just dropping at this huge fucking cliffhanger at the end of a second movie. Because Pirates did the same thing.
Yeah.
And it irritates the fuck out of me. Just give me a complete story and then give me a tease for the next one. Don't end on this fucking, I'm out of the Matrix and I can control machines and then I pass out bullshit.
Yeah, but you can't tell me it didn't give everybody something to talk about for a year.
Well, it did, but here's my problem, is that I hated the movie, and so...
So you didn't want to talk about it.
When it ended on that, I literally was like, in the theater, I was like, God damn it, now I have to see the next one to know what happened, and I didn't want to. That was the problem. So, and then the third one didn't actually answer any of my fucking questions from the second one, so good job. Good job, fuck faces. Anyway.
They got your money.
They did. So let's move on before I have an aneurysm.
Sure. God damn it. All right. Next one is Speed 2 Cruise Control.
And Frank wonders why I keep trying to leave. Like,
you know this movie comes up as number one on worst sequel lists, like, consistently?
Hey, how can it not? How can it not?
But it's got Sandra Bullock.
I want to say the cover picture for this, the poster, is Jason Patrick and Sandra Bullock looking at the movie at the premiere. It's like, shit, did we make that?
Bet there are people leaving the theater like with the Bird Box mask.
What
on.
Is this? The poster says Rush Hour hits the water.
It was so fucking terrible. Oh, it was terrible, man. And then remember the beginning scene? Like, he was on a motorcycle. They were trying to make him seem as cool as possible, like, off the bat.
I think they were trying to trick us into thinking Keanu Reeves was in this movie.
They were.
Yeah.
Down to his haircut and his job and everything like that.
If you just pass that poster real fast, you'd be like, oh, okay, sweet, he's in it. And then you read it, and they put his name in italics.
So it's like Jason Reeves. Keanu Reeves. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, Sarah Wentz says, I knew this was going to be on the list. How could it not?
How could
it not? How do we fix it? First thing, Danny and I kind of mentioned this beforehand. You got to put Keanu Reeves in it.
Put Keanu Reeves in it.
Period.
Yeah.
The first movie, it's his franchise. Period.
Because other than that, I mean, it makes it look like the character of Annie's just a slut sleeping her way through the LAPD.
Yeah, pretty much. And he's like, oh, you can take me on a cruise. Let's do this, you know.
Richard Prillerman says, Speed 2, I work at the movie theater when it came out and still didn't watch it.
Who was Morris Chestnut, was he in this too? Or am I thinking of the Under Siege sequel? Because I know he was in that.
Which actor is that?
Morris Chestnut, he's I'm trying to think, he was in Anaconda 2. Trying to think what else he's been in.
Yeah, I'm not picturing a face.
Okay.
But, I mean, they did bring the, for continuity, guys,
they brought
the guy from the freeway and gets his car destroyed.
Because we needed him there.
Yeah, you know? we needed to see him have a boat destroyed as well.
It was a caricature of itself.
This fine gentleman who is doing well for himself and we're just going to destroy all his shit.
Willem Dafoe with leeches.
Millions of leeches.
Now, I'm okay with you keeping Willem Dafoe as the bad guy because I think he does great bad guy. But the whole, like...
Remember he had that computer on his arm controlling doors without even looking and stuff? It was like, come on, dude. You haven't been on this cruise that many times.
Yeah. Is there a way to fix this with, like, maybe setting it somewhere else with a different plot altogether?
You must have just read Exhale's comment, too. Speed 2, Sandra Bullock is fast. Hey, she's not Angela Bennett anymore. Yep, so it could have been.
I think the title of this probably should have been Speed 2, Speed Faster.
Here's the thing.
Go the Die Hard 2 route.
The title is all wrong. Whenever you
Speed Fast with a Vengeance.
You put something on cruise, it's going the same speed. And it's fine.
No, they're tying it in because they're on a cruise boat. So,
but it fails on so many levels.
It fails on so many levels.
They're still like, I think they're doing like 35 miles an hour at best. And then we're going to crash into the
It's knots. It's knots, okay? They're doing 35 knots.
Shut up, Danny.
Jason Lane, it made money because everybody really liked the first one and they thought maybe it would be good and it was not.
Somebody paid Roger Ebert. There's no, like, I respected him. Like, somebody went into his office, like Andy King, and, oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
Jason Lynch said, set it in space.
I like Exhales. Set it in the trash. There's nothing that could have fixed this movie besides them putting Keanu Reeves in it. It could have worked on a boat if it was a good movie, but all of it just seemed convoluted and fake. It just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you'd have to go with a different plot. I'm trying to think of how you could take the concept and make it more unique, but still keep it somewhat similar to the first movie so that, you know, because you don't want to alienate your audience, but you also want to innovate.
Yeah.
It's because that's why Die Hard 2 didn't really work, because it was basically the same movie.
Yeah.
But just on a plane.
But just in an airport.
Yeah, an airport.
So maybe you put this movie on a plane. Or in an airport.
Then that changes the timetable, I think. Well, like with the first movie, that was one thing I remember. Like, you never really worried about the gas thing until he punctured the fuel tank. Mm-hmm. But the nature of the plot of the first one lends it to not even needing ever a sequel. So yeah. I think that's what they were stuck in, but they needed to do it just because they were like, we got
to
make
some
more
money. I mean, if you were trying to tie it to the first one, you could have somebody who's a copycat, but they're branching out and doing their own thing, so you can put a different twist on it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe put it in the cars that are actually going over 55.
I just had an apostrophe.
Epiphany is the...
Lightning just struck my brain. So have you guys seen the movie Executive Decision, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Kurt Russell, John yes. Leguizamo. Do it like that. Like, terrorists hijack a plane. Jack and Annie just happen to be on this plane.
Of course.
Of course, because they have to. And they have a bomb that's set to blow off on landing at LAX.
Wait, the bomb blew you off?
Yeah. The ground.
My God.
That I think would make a better movie.
I mean, yes, but planes just naturally have to be at a certain speed to not fall out of the sky.
Well, I mean, so. it's not necessarily it's not the speed. Because, I mean, the boat wasn't going to explode based on the speed or not. So
wasn't it? I thought that it had to go a certain speed in the water. Speed.
No.
Although to be fair, I only saw the movie once, and it was so bad I kind of blocked it out.
Pretty much, Willem Dafoe takes control of the boat and. Locks everything down, and then just decides, I'm going to crash the boat. And then he bails. He essentially robs the boat and then bails. And that's it. That's the movie.
Yeah,
the boat is never set to explode if it doesn't go a certain speed or not.
It's just that it was going fast.
It was just going fast and going to crash, yeah.
It's still dumb.
That just made the movie dumber.
It did. It really did.
Everyone is now dumber.
It absolutely did.
Because even if the boat crashes into land, everybody on the boat, for the most part, is going to be fine.
Yeah.
So,
and also, when you think of like speed on the water, you don't generally think of a cruise liner.
No. It was all wrong. Like this, I don't think this one's redeemable.
So there's no saving this one, is what you're saying.
No.
Yeah. No.
It says, Jason Lane says, have Keanu and Sandra Bullock go on a cruise with McClanes from Die Hard. With the McClanes from Die Hard.
Apparently, Sarah has won the chat, according to Exhale. Bring in the rest of the cast from Lost Boys, vampires on a cruise ship.
I feel as though that doesn't work.
So but she got three likes. It works.
So this is just Michael is just grown up now, and he's... But he still has the connections to the vampires, I think. I guess that could work. It couldn't be any worse than what we got.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Ashley Allison says, make sure it's a Christmas cruise. If you're, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be. It's got to be. Make it a Christmas movie. All right. Yeah, I don't think we can save this one, guys. No, this was just too bad.
I'm fine with this one dying.
Yes. What's next?
Up next is everybody's favorite, Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
Oh, man, the perfect Eddie Brock.
Foreman?
Okay, this one's actually pretty simple to fix, I think.
Okay, let's hear your thoughts.
Well, one, Topher Grace, ax him, like, completely done.
How dare you?
We have to. There's just too much going on in this movie. I think that was...
And a lot of it is emo.
Yeah, my thing is that because I rewatched some of it recently, and I don't think Topher is bad. I think it's just... He's the character of Venom overall is handled so poorly throughout the whole movie. I think that he should have been Eddie Brock should have been introduced in Spider-Man 2 as a rival reporter.
Yep.
And then if you were going to do the Venom thing, that way he's already established and we kind of know they have that rivalry, and then you can ease into it in a third movie.
It needed to be either him or Sandman. Like, the two of them together, it just turned into too much.
Yeah. And also fucking new Green Goblin on top of it.
Had this one coming, Pete. Like, so to me, it Green Goblin, I felt like that was a given. We all knew we were going to see him in the third one because he was upset and everything. But for him to have to contend with that and then contend with Sandman, that really didn't give a shit about Spider-Man.
Daniel Cutchins asks, who was the director of 3? It was Sam Raimi.
Still Sam Raimi. Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't... Here's the thing about this, and I know we've mentioned it previously on the show. It wasn't Sam's fault that the movie was the way it was. He didn't want to make that movie, and the studio was like, no, you're going to stick all these characters in it. And then he was like... He kind of was just like, okay.
But, fuck it.
Yeah, and so he just made a shit film. Like, I feel like he intentionally did it as a fuck you to the studio.
Yeah. Because we all know he's better than that. I love Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
I thought he handled Doc Ock beautifully, especially for the CGI he was able to do at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, considering when it was made. Now, I hate Exhale. He's the one that just made me bust out laughing.
What did he say?
He said they should have started the movie before Mary Jane started her period. Like,
wow.
What in the world, dude?
So some serious ones, I guess. Oh, never mind. That's not serious at all. Jason Lane said, need more prancing emo Peter.
No.
Someone else, Jay Booth, said more emo dance scenes.
Stop.
How do we kick people out of the chat?
you remember in Into the Spider-Verse where he said, this, we don't talk about this.
Hey, Derek's watching, guys, so let's be cool. Okay.
What? Oh, stop. Yeah, stop talking shit about him.
Be cool. Be cool.
Julius Kelly said one, maybe two villains, a bigger, bulkier Venom.
Yes.
Yeah, I think once he's in the Venom suit, they could have
made it huge. You know,
bulked him up a bit.
Then that last scene where the Sandman is huge and they're flying around him, and now you know they're friends. They turned into the buddy cop thing. It was too much.
Yeah.
Less would have been more. Given that information with Raimi being like, "Fuck it," I could see why. But even like Spider-Man in a black suit was fine at first. But then when they started that whole emo thing and him dancing in the club and then he like punched the shit out of Mary Jane, it just got weird.
Yeah.
It got way too weird.
Aside from just the villain characters being added in, then they decided to add in the whole Gwen Stacy thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? You didn't start with that character, so just why do we need to go there? Mm-hmm. Just ignore that character altogether. But they wanted this. Like, these two characters haven't had enough tension in their relationship that they finally get together at the end of the last one, and you're like, how can we break them up again? Like, come on.
Yes, but they didn't want Spider-Man to be happy for shit.
Leave it alone. They just needed Toby to cry more.
And then that whole, when he meets the Sandman, is like, I forgive you. And he just kind of disappears, like, it was dumb. It was just dumb. I mean,
If you were to have just out of the three villains that were in the movie, if you were to have one that would be featured and featured well, which one would it have been out of those three?
I'm biased because I didn't like Topher Grace, so I was going to say Sandman.
Sandman.
Yeah.
I mean, and also Sandman, it was a villain we hadn't seen before, you know? And
yeah.
So
and
I think
it would have been different. Like, we didn't want to see the Goblin flying around again. And the Venom thing was just, like you said, done so bad that I would rather them have not done it. Because I remember when I saw the trailer for 3, and I was like, holy shit, he's going to be against Venom. I was super excited. And then I'm sitting in the theater watching him, like, buck his hips and snap and point at people on the street. Like, I was so glad they did that in Spider-Verse just to show the ridiculousness of it, you know? But, yeah, like, no. I think Sandman would have just done it justice, give him a good story, and call it good.
Jason Lane says they should have opened the movie with a bounty on Spidey's head. Then the Sinister Six could have showed up for some badass fight scenes with his friend Green Goblin behind it all.
maybe.
You don't need character development as long as you got badass fight scenes.
Yeah.
Which we didn't even really get in Spider-Man 3, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The end scene with him and Venom, yeah, it was not good.
No, not at all. Like, he killed him.
He beat him with a tuning fork.
Basically.
Yeah, but I mean, when that's your weakness,
yeah. What else when are you sound is do? Your weakness, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but the way that they did it, like, what if he wasn't fighting him in a bell tower? You know what I mean? Like, that, I don't know, it was just weird.
Well, that's one of the things I actually liked about the movie was how rigid they stuck to the comic and how, you know, Peter realizes, oh, the bell tower is what's driving him nuts. That's how I get out of this damn suit. And I liked how then, you know, drips onto a praying Eddie. And that's how you get Venom.
So Michael Merlin says, cut Spider-Man 3 into two parts. Part 1 is the Sandman story. Part 2 is the Venom story. But, I mean, this was before movies were doing that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So essentially that just would have been part 3 and part 4 back then. But, I mean, I agree that you should have split that stuff up.
If they split it up, they would have been fine. And he would have been able to keep the series going. But that we hear about this a lot in trilogies where by 3... a lot of different hands are in the money pot in these studios, so they just want so much specific stuff, and the director gets overwhelmed. Age of Ultron, you know? So
yeah, they don't even like the studios just don't care. They just want money at that point, so they're like their stupid brains are like, well, what makes more money? More characters? And you're like, no, it doesn't.
It does not.
Unless you've spent 10 plus years setting it up,
figuring it out, and permission to come aboard.
All right, so have we fixed this yet? No?
I think we did.
We've streamlined it.
I think so.
You focus on one, maybe two villains. You get rid of emo Spider-Man.
Get rid of emo Spider-Man. Get rid of Gwen Stacy.
Get rid of Gwen Stacy.
Keep Peter. Like, there doesn't need to be a conflict there.
They could have recast Mary Jane, too. I didn't like her in any of those movies.
Really? I don't think anybody did.
I don't like Kirsten Dunst's face. I'm sorry.
Harsh, bro.
I want to be your Kirsten Dunst.
She. I don't know. Every movie... and we all know, he loves Mary Jane, but I was like, why are you into her? I just never bought into it. I don't know. That's a personal bias, I guess.
So Daniel Cutchins asked earlier, he asked who was our favorite Spider-Man, and then he responded that Toby was the best Peter Parker and Holland was the best Spider-Man, and then he asked everyone's thoughts.
I like Holland as Peter Parker better.
I really like Chris Pine. Does that not count?
From the Spider-Verse?
Yeah,
I think we're just talking live action.
Yeah, I'm going to go
I'm going to go Tom Holland then.
Yeah.
I think Andrew Garfield was my favorite Peter Parker. I don't know, though, because Tom Holland is so fucking good, too.
I didn't like Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker. He was too cool.
I liked his Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He was a good Spider-Man because he was actually funny and witty and quippy.
He bamboozled me because he's a good actor, and so he did cry face well too, but he did it more subtly than Tobey Maguire.
Who was just
Tobey's
ugly
cry
crying.
Face most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's just
even
like,
when he's
yeah.
not trying to be.
Yeah, he's the male Julia Roberts. Which that's not true.
That's
the male Julia Roberts is her brother Eric
Roberts.
But because that guy is a weepy face too. But yeah, Toby, that's like his. That's his thing. That's his move. What do you want me to do? Can I cry? Sure. But yeah, I think Tom Holland nails it on both fronts.
I think he does. Like they just found the perfect one. I think even Stan Lee said, "I think I found the perfect Spider-Man." So. I would love to have been in a room with Tobey Maguire when he was watching outtakes and heard that shit.
What was it? Tom Holland said he wants Tobey Maguire to come back and play Uncle Ben.
I thought that was so fucking insulting. If I were Tobey Maguire, I would be like, "Fuck you!"
Yeah, as soon as I see you on the street, like it's a wrap. Like, period.
No, as soon as he sees him on the street, he's going to dance and point at him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
As long as somebody records it.
Jesus Christ.
All right, what's next?
Up next is The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Yes. So.
Something has survived.
I think if we take Ian Malcolm out altogether and we make.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you, sir.
Really?
What I was just thinking, if we make Vince Vaughn the main character.
No. What this movie needs is more shirtless Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. You can't take out the Goldblum.
Yes. Like, yes, I think.
Is it like more cowbell? Yes. More Goldblum?
More Goldblum.
I got a fever. The only prescription is more Goldblum.
That's a really good Christopher Walken you got there.
I wasn't trying to be Christopher Walken, so.
No, I'm saying it was pretty good.
So, thank you. Wow.
First thing that needs to be cut is the gymnastics scene with his daughter kicking a raptor.
What?
That's the first thing that has to go.
They were channeling Jim Cotta. How could you?
Jim Cotta. and then the line, the school cut you from the team?
Yeah. The Lost World Equilibrium. No. That whole thing was dumb. Getting his daughter on the island was dumb. Him having a daughter darker than me was dumb. Like, it was just weird. This movie just, it turned into, all the Jurassic Park movies got the exact same format, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first one had the whimsy of us never having seen that format from Spielberg before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But after they get to the island, you know, we have the wow moment with the dinosaurs that aren't trying to kill them, and then they try and kill them, and then they try and save them, and then they try and kill them. Like, it got lost in its own shit, and I felt like I think even Spielberg said about halfway through, he kind of stopped caring on this one. This was the hardest movie he said that it was for him.
Did he direct this one?
Yes.
He did.
He directed this one, and I want to say he had a death in the family in the middle of it on top of trying to do Schindler's List at the same time.
Yeah, and I don't think that he necessarily wanted to direct it.
No.
The friend of his who directed the third one,
yes,
and also the director of Jumanji, I'm blanking on his name right now, and he's gone on to do many other things.
Trevor Noah or something like that. Yeah,
I'll look it up.
Trevorrow. He did the Jurassic World. Colin Trevorrow.
No, it wasn't.
Joe Johnston.
That's it. Joe Johnston.
Joe
I was
Johnston.
Getting confused with Jurassic World.
So he was actually, I think, supposed to direct two, but the studio didn't want him. They like kind of pressured Spielberg to do it, and he was able to push for Joe to be able to direct the third one.
Right.
Unfortunately,
which was so great.
Third one felt like it was a straight to video movie.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
it did. God, it was terrible.
Alan.
I honestly think that they should have had Alan Grant back for the sequel. Like, even if you want Ian Malcolm back, I think you need to have that character back.
Yes.
Well, I want to say
he didn't want to do it.
Well, I mean, I think they kind of like hit a snag with casting because I want to say Malcolm dies at the end of the first book.
He does.
And then I think when Crichton wrote the second book, he kind of retconned it and said, oh, he died, but he didn't die for
yeah, good. he had to retcon it because they changed it in the movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and the second book feels like he shouldn't be there. When I was bored to death in the second book. I know some people said they really liked it. I didn't like the second book. So it felt like he should have died.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was just suffering from too much of trying to match the nostalgia of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And they just couldn't do it. He captured lightning in a bottle on the first one.
So it was groundbreaking, like what ILM was able to do in terms of recreating dinosaurs, both practical and CGI.
The special effects almost completely still hold up.
Yeah.
It was like 94.
Yeah. I saw the 25 year anniversary when they converted it to 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit, dude, that movie still stands up.
Yeah.
And it's even better in 3D because you got the raptors just like literally jumping at you. Mm-hmm. And it's so great.
Yeah,
but again, it's like you said, it's that mix of practical and special mm-hmm. effects that makes it work so well.
That's what did it.
And I feel like the second movie, I think Spielberg did a good job with, you know, if ILM was doing the digital effects and whoever was doing that creature effects, I think they did a good job in the second one too. There was just, it's the plot that really doesn't hold up. And you're, like you said, they're just doing the same formula over and over again with slight variations. And then, you know, doing the ending of the shitty Godzilla movie, but in San Diego, or did that steal it from this? I can't remember.
What?
I don't think they stole it from. It felt like it had been done before.
Yeah.
Regardless, and that was weird to see in anything attached to Spielberg. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Again, like we talk about, the studios do this shit to these directors, these amazing directors, where they give them all this pressure and then it turns into a shit movie. And then, can you imagine trying to do a movie like this and Schindler's List at the same time? That's got to be a mind fuck. Like, when you leave, you're like, all right, now this Holocaust thing.
Feels so he had nightmares about Nazi T-Rexes.
I'd like to see him getting just so frustrated and mixed up that he's telling an editor, he's like, where are the raptors in the scene at Auschwitz? What?
They're wearing Gestapo uniforms.
Nazi dinosaurs. Oh, my God. I want somebody make this movie.
I feel as though that's a Turok game.
Yeah. It's either.
Like if Wolfenstein and Turok had a baby.
It could be the next Sharknado we just made.
We could call it Jurassic Park.
Jurassic. Oh, my God. Yes. Jurassic Park.
Oh
my God!
Is the T Rex dinosaur Hitler?
He technically is the king of the dinosaurs. So,
oh my God! I'm picturing a T Rex with a tiny mustache. I can't. Anyway,
a Dilophosaurus Rex.
I don't know if we've actually fixed this movie.
No, I think we did. But I think we did.
I think we did.
You make Nazi dinosaurs.
Oh wow. Anyway,
Velocinazis.
We're out of time now. I know. We probably had a couple more on there, but
we just had one more.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're gonna have to skip that one because are out of time. Everyone, thank you all so much for participating and helping us try to fix these crappy movies. Unless you like them, in which case, you know,
what's wrong?
We can't help.
There's no accounting for taste. But anyway, Sam, also thank you so much for coming out and filling in.
Thank you for having me.
For Derek, we wish you were here more often.
I can be now.
We can be now.
I can, and that's going to happen.
Look out, Derek.
And look out for us. We're going to put together something for Jack Channel.
Yes. So. Yeah, we're gonna have a new show featuring this gorgeous man right here, our very own Diggle, in the house.
Green Lantern now, so I'm getting promoted.
Yes. And I apologize. We forgot to mention that earlier
in the current events. Did.
Can you be here next week
and miss the Super Bowl?
I don't care about football.
Okay,
sports ball.
Football. Do football.
Sorry, Tim. I know how you feel about people calling it sports ball. Anyway,
okay. If it's not Quidditch, whatever. So.
Holy shit.
So anyway, that's it for tonight, guys. As always, you can find this and a bunch of other cool programming. We're trying to do more new stuff for the YouTube channel, all video stuff. Go check it out. And jackofallnerdshow.com has links to all of our social media, cool stuff like that. Support us on Patreon for bonus content, that kinds of stuff.
Great.
And this has been the Jack of All Nerds, guys. We will talk at you later.
Peace.